This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The gay rights movement usually claims that gay marriage will not affect anyone except the people getting married. They claim it is no offense to traditional marriage, but that does not appear to be true. Here is a curious incident that happened in the state of Washington, where same-sex marriage is legal. The manager of a flower shop was asked by a customer named Robert Ingersoll to provide flowers for his upcoming marriage to his same-sex partner. The manager told him she could not do that because of, quote, her relationship with Jesus Christ. Robert Ingersoll then wrote about this incident on Facebook. The Washington State Attorney General's office heard about this and decided to sue the florist. The left wants to make the florist's decision an issue of discrimination. The left wing says that this incident is no different from having a whites-only restaurant. But the florist was not discriminating against people. She has openly gay employees, and she is happy to sell flowers to gay customers, which she has been doing for years. This was about an event, not a person. The florist simply refused to assist with an activity she objected to for religious reasons. So it appears that same-sex marriage does indeed have a large effect on society and an immediate effect on the wedding vendors who will now be required to participate in it. If the vendors do not cooperate in same-sex marriages, they face lawsuits from the state. The left wing wants to use the government power to force acceptance of its lifestyle. The homosexual movement does not practice the tolerance it preaches. We seem to be reaching the point where one of the biggest issues in same-sex marriage is the free speech right of others to criticize it. Whatever happened to our First Amendment free exercise of religion?
College students, you're invited to the 20th annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit on July 18 and 19 in Washington, D.C. Get equipped to combat the liberal ideologies of multiculturalism, diversity, and feminism on your campus. Network with conservative leaders. Register in advance and the conference is free. Go to eagleforum.org and click on Collegians. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steenblok has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steenblok and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steenblok is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Let's see, was it last month or maybe the month before? We had David Gumpert on. He's the author of several books, and his most recent is Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Food Rights, the Escalating Battle Over Who Decides What We Eat. It was a fascinating show. Turns out he'll be at the conference that we were just highlighting with Sally Fallon last hour. That's the Weston A. Price Conference, the Wise Traditions Forum, Curing the Incurable, Holistic Therapies for Chronic Disease, and all sorts of speakers with a cornucopia of topics. There's also going to be a debate with Dr. Mercola, which we'll tell you about in just a little bit. But let me go ahead and bring David on. David has become a nationally recognized writer and authority on the intersection of food, health, and business by virtue of his widely acclaimed book, The Raw Milk Revolution: Behind America's Emerging Battle Over Food Rights, as well as his proactive and popular blog, The Complete Patient, which you can find at thecompletepatient.com. He's a great guy, and I really enjoyed talking to him the last time he was on, and I'm glad to bring him back. David, welcome back to the Bob Tuscan Show. How you been?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing well. I'm sipping on a glass of raw milk. Don't tell anyone, okay?
Good, good.
I put a little maple in it, and I found that this is my new treat, a little bit of maple syrup and raw milk.
I just made a raw milk smoothie a little earlier. And, I do frozen banana and frozen strawberry and some unsweetened chocolate powder, a little coconut, and mix it up, and it's like a milkshake.
Mm, sounds good, and of course the banana gives it the sweetness.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I'll have to make one of those one of these days. David, there's a debate between Dr. Mercola and, I've been trying to search for the
specs.
Yeah, tell me about this debate.
The debate is going to look at a question that doesn't come up very often concerning GMOs, genetically modified organisms. The question is whether we should be regulating, or whether we should be requiring via regulation that food companies disclose on their labels the existence of GMO ingredients. Now, most people who favor, wholesome food and are concerned about the processing, over-processing of food, want to have full disclosure. And it's just accepted that that's what people who are kind of progressive about all this want. But I think what's going to happen here is Joel Salatin in particular is going to say, and I'm I hesitate to quote him because I have not heard him speak on this, but I think he's going to say something to the effect that we don't necessarily want the government involved in this arena. We've had too many unpleasant experiences inviting government regulation, and we're better off doing this all through the marketplace. In other words...
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think there's something to it. I think there is definitely something to it let people vote with their feet, with their pocketbooks, and that will have more of an effect than, or a better, or perhaps a more positive effect overall on disclosure.
Sure. I just feel bad for those out there who are
voluntarily.
Yeah, well, I just feel bad for those out there though who aren't going to be aware of this, and the companies that will cheat them by not making them aware of it because they're playing on people's ignorance. I don't know that the government should force the regulation on that. I think the people should, ideally, but I don't know that that's going to happen.
Well, I think that's the issue here, and that it's not going to happen. At least there's a school of thought that it's not going to. I think Joe Mercola is going to be the one taking that side. It's not going to happen unless we require it somehow. And so
right.
that's what Proposition 37 was about in California last year, to require companies to disclose this. That proposition was just barely defeated. But it's come up now, and we've had actually laws passed requiring labeling of GMO ingredients in Connecticut and in Maine. Those laws don't take effect until more states pass similar laws, but they've begun set the precedent. And I think Vermont, one house of the Vermont legislature passed it. And then we have, I think, another one of these referendums coming up in Washington State. And that is, I'm not sure exactly when that is, but it's pretty soon, because there was just some disclosure based on a suit filed by the Washington State Attorney General against the Grocery Manufacturers Association, requiring disclosure of just how the food companies are trying to work against this referendum. And it turns out they've been contributing big bucks to try to fight this, just like they did in California last year.
I don't understand. In a sense, it doesn't make any sense, because they could charge more for food that is not contaminated. But I guess when you have Monsanto, and not just Monsanto, other companies as well, with a tremendous control over the market, it changes their perspective.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I think it's all about control. And what you have in the food industry is that a few companies control major segments of the industry. So you have, for instance, you take cereals, like you have General Mills and Kellogg's, and a couple other companies. Four companies control, I don't know, 80 or 90% of the breakfast cereal market. You have four companies that control something like 75 or 80% of the chicken market. So you have this tremendous concentration, and those kinds of companies are really oligopolies, and they aren't used to competing. They don't think they have to compete, and they don't think they have to do what anyone else tells them to do. So they kind of, you know, they don't take well to consumer demands for anything.
Well, I think people are starting to wake up and choose to eat good stuff. And after there was all this talk about labeling the food, I saw more and more food at my local grocery store that had a private non-GMO label on it.
Interesting.
So, yeah, and I was told
up here. Yeah, starting to happen. I think Whole Foods has begun or is shortly going to be requiring that any company that sells food there show whether they have any.
Of course, there was a lot of controversy surrounding Whole Foods and their stance on that at one point.
Well, yeah, I think they were hedging and uncertain about what they were going to do, but I think they've tried to clarify it. But you know, they're trying to. I think what they're doing is maybe what Joel Salatin is kind of suggesting, is they're saying, hey, we don't need the government to tell us or to require this from us. We're going to require this of all the companies that supply food to us. And so they're heading in a direction that I think is more the voluntary model.
Well, I dig it in that strict libertarian perspective on this. Of course, Joel Salatin wrote the foreword for your book, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Food Rights. Everyone should check it out if they haven't already. David, I was at my local bakery here. We have a nice organic local bakery in the small town I live in, and they have all sorts of cool books. And I looked down, and there was your book.
Great.
I must have seen it there a million times, and until I had you on, I didn't notice they had it.
That always warms my heart to hear that.
It was awesome. This little old bakery in the, you know, rural Florida has your awesome book there. All right, when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with David Gumpert on the Bob Tuscan Show. Don't go anywhere.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com. to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendovite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendovite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendovite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now. Right now.
Isn't what we're building for.
Most of my listeners by now take for granted that GMO foods are dangerous, that they should be avoided, that they are not good for the farmers. David, what is your take on the dangers of GMOs?
My take is that we don't really know enough to say for sure how dangerous they are. But having said that, that to me represents a huge red flag. In other words, I don't trust the FDA or the various Monsantos of the world to say, well, we say it's safe, so therefore it must be safe. So I think we need a lot more research and a lot more study, in particular long-term study, to see what the effects are. But, you don't have to be a scientist to become nervous when you see that some of these products like soy and corn contain kind of built-in pesticides as part of the whole genetic alteration. If there's a pesticide effect within these foods to protect them from weeds, why then, you know, what does it do to the human body? And so that's kind of I think we don't have a real lot of evidence yet either way, but it's what we do know doesn't sound real encouraging.
Well, the scary thing is we're human guinea pigs, essentially.
Yeah. Okay, that's another way of putting it.
Yeah, and I'm not, because I don't choose to eat that junk.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the problem is we may be ingesting these things without even realizing it. Right. You and I are pretty careful about this stuff, but even so, I mean, you know, when you're traveling and you have to eat a restaurant meal, you have to eat airport food or whatever it is, and you just don't know when you're getting it, and so you're probably getting it more often than you realize.
Right. Earlier this month, you wrote a blog: if the food is in the supermarket, it must be safe, right? The big reason unsafe corporate food is okay. Tell me about that piece.
Well, we had a situation just three weeks or so ago where there was an outbreak of illness from tainted chicken. This was what made this outbreak, I think it was something like 370 or 380 illnesses. There were two things that made the outbreak noteworthy. First of all, that something like 40% or more of the people who got sick had to go to the hospital. That's a very, very high percentage for any pathogen contamination of food. The other part of it that was eye-opening was that a good number of the illnesses, of the 370 or 380 illnesses, were created by Salmonella, the pathogen, that are resistant to being treated by antibiotics. So, in other words, the Salmonella that was in this chicken had evolved to a point where antibiotics can't just treat it. And so you have a potentially very dangerous situation, this kind of situation that we've been warned about for some years now, that our overuse of antibiotics on animals, I think it's 80% of all the antibiotics that are produced go to treat or a prophylactic treatment of farm animals. And so this would inevitably lead to the creation of pathogens that are resistant to antibiotics, because the pathogens that survive being treated with all these antibiotics that are fed to the animals are going to be pretty strong pathogens. So, and what was noteworthy about the case I wrote about was that it was the chicken was produced by an outfit in California, a huge multi-billion-dollar producer, Foster Farms. And the USDA, you know, went in there and did all kinds of inspections and so forth, and they eventually decided that Foster Farms didn't have to do anything. In other words, Foster Farms supposedly had convinced the USDA inspectors that they had already taken corrective action, And so there was no recall. There was no shutdown of the plant, even for a little while. And this is also highly unusual. At least if any small companies are involved, small food producers are involved in any kind of illness, they are either shut down or forced to do huge recalls supposedly deal with the safety issue. Well, Foster Farms didn't have to do any of that, and they just kept operating the way they had. And so, I mean, the message to me was that, hey, they're just allowed to keep producing chicken that's potentially tainted. And so when you go to you hear about something like this, if you're an ordinary consumer, you think, well, somebody's taking care of it, right? I mean, somebody is either shutting the plant down or doing a recall or...
Sure, you might think so anyways.
You would think so, but that's not what happened. So that's kind of where that headline came from, that, the Foster Farms chicken is still in the supermarkets after, 370, 380 people got sick. What's wrong with this picture?
And yet they come after raw milk, who really doesn't get many sick.
Raw milk cheese. There have been all kinds of cases where they've shut down raw milk cheese producers without even having made anyone sick, just because they found some pathogens in the plant or for some pathogens on some samples inside the plant. And there was a case of Morningland Dairy in Missouri, small cheese producer. A couple of samples of cheese that were found to have listeria, and nobody got sick. Nobody had, there was no evidence of any illness, anyone complaining, anyone, wanting to return cheese for a refund. And the FDA and the Missouri Milk Board forced this little company to shut down completely and recall all the cheese they had sold for the previous 8 months, and eventually put them out of business by doing that. But totally different kind of a situation. I mean, it was a much less threatening situation and much more, much stricter action against them.
David, quick question before we hit our next break. It's going to sneak up on us here in about a minute. You wrote for the Wall Street Journal, is that right?
Yes, I did.
For 9 years.
Yes.
As a staff reporter there. What are your peers back at the Wall Street Journal and the mainstream media, if you will, what do they think about this kind of stuff? And did you experience any censorship at the Wall Street Journal?
Well, I never experienced censorship as such, but I was there a good while ago. I have to say that I find not so much the Wall Street Journals alone, but just the mainstream media really not giving this whole subject kind of attention.
Let's get to a longer response for that, because this is interesting to me. And with your background, I'd love to hear your insights on it. David Gumpert is our guest on the Bob Tuscan Show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Food Rights.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
John Statmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The United Voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt.
All right, if you're just joining us, we're having a great discussion with David Gumpert. He's the author of several books, including his most recent, Life, Liberty, and The Pursuit of Food Rights, The Escalating Battle Over Who Decides What We Eat. He has a great book that he did on raw milk, The Raw Milk Revolution Behind America's Emerging Battle Over Food Rights. And this is stuff that I don't want to call, let's see here, alternative media, but this is stuff that you might not see from much of the corporate media establishment. And I was reading here in your bio that you spent 9 years as a staff reporter with the Wall Street Journal. Tell me why you think the mainstream media doesn't cover this kind of thing and what your experience was at the Wall Street Journal.
Well, let me just say right off the bat that when I was with the Wall Street Journal, I wasn't writing about food safety or food issues, food policy, anything like that. I was writing technology companies and large corporations and not necessarily involved in the food business. But I would like to point out, though, that it's pretty obvious that the mainstream media, this includes the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, the main networks on TV and so on and so forth, and as well as a number of what I would call liberal publications, places like New Republic or Nation, really are afraid of covering this whole issue of food rights and food safety in an objective way. And why do I say that? Well, because it's not as if they don't write about this issue. They do write about it. They just write about it in the way that the CDC, you know, Centers for Disease Control, and the FDA and the USDA tell them to write about it. So just as one example, there is a commonly used statistic that comes out of the Centers for Disease Control, and they, all the government agencies involved in food use this piece of data, and that is that 48 million Americans get sick from foodborne pathogens every year. Not only that, something like 120,000 have to go to the hospital and 3,000 die. And so that piece of data gets used over and over and over by the mainstream media when they, whenever they talk about you know, illnesses from food or when they talk about things like raw milk. And so but the problem with that little data piece is that it's highly misleading because it's an estimate, and it's apparently a highly exaggerated estimate. If you look at the actual data of illnesses that the CDC reports, these are actual cases that they collect from states around the country. The number is in the few thousands. And most recently, 2010, it was on the order of 15,000 illnesses and something like about 14 or 15 deaths. Well, this isn't, you know, even remotely indicative of, you know, 48 million or 3,000 deaths. It's just a tiny sliver. Now, they say a lot of illnesses aren't reported, and that's, I think that's fair to say, and safe to say. But they still don't make any kind of a convincing case of how we get from 15,000 reported illnesses to 48 million actual estimated illnesses. And they do this through all kinds of extrapolations that are really not all that convincing or believable. So we have a situation where the whole issue of food safety is misrepresented, misreported, as if we have some kind of a food safety crisis, when in fact we have illnesses, but it's not on the level of being a crisis. So that's one of the disappointments in all this. I mean, but it has huge ramifications, because if you that little data piece I was talking about, the 48 million, the 3,000 deaths, that was used to push for the passage of something called the Food Safety Modernization Act, and that is something that was passed, a huge law that was passed in late 2010, signed into law by Obama in early 2011, and is going to start taking effect next year. And then what it'll do is it'll give the FDA huge new powers to go onto farms and inspect them, shut them down, or inspect them for whatever reasons without any kind of cause. And many owners of small farms are just terrified about what it's going to bring, because the FDA has just never been very friendly to...
As if they're not having a hard time already.
As if they aren't having a hard time already. Exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we talked about several of those cases the last time you were on, from Mark Baker, the pig farmer, if I'm not mistaken, in Michigan.
Yes.
What was his name? Virgil.
Vernon Hirschberger.
Vernon, excuse me. Yeah, it was at the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, the underlying reason for these actions against these farmers is that we have to protect the people. There's a food safety problem. And, you know, even though neither of these farmers or a number of other farmers who've been hit with these crackdowns have made anyone sick. No one's gotten sick from Vernon's or from Mark's food. In fact, they've been made healthier by eating their food. So you have this kind of disconnect, and it's really unfortunate. The I think the problem with the mainstream media is that they are intimidated by the scientists. So they are inclined to believe the scientists before they believe farmers.
It's become a religion. It's become a dogma.
It has.
The scientism is what we should call it.
Yeah.
And it's this appeal to authority, this logical fallacy that because they are the authority and they are the establishment, that must be the case.
Yeah, they talk, you know, they talk in, you know, about regression analysis. They toss out all these kind of, you know, complicated terms. And the media don't necessarily understand what they're talking about, so they figure they must be right. They don't want to sound stupid, after all.
Sure. Yeah.
No one wants to sound stupid, especially if you're a professional reporter. And you don't want to sound like you're asking a silly question. And so
maybe they should sound stupid. You know, I sound stupid all the time
absolutely.
On this show.
I think if they ask some really... it would sound like silly questions. They'd probably have the CDC and FDA people kind of stuttering and stammering.
I mean, I do it all the time on this show, so, you know.
Right.
All right, well, interesting perspective, Dave, and I appreciate you entertaining that topic. I know that many people out there will say, oh, he's a shill, he worked for the Wall Street Journal, but... At the end of the day, you know, each journalist there is not in on some conspiracy. There's people that go on to see things clearly and others that are there currently that I'm sure just aren't covering these topics. So,
yeah, no, that's about it. I mean, I think professional journalists, when they're working at the level of the Wall Street Journal, they all want to do a good job. I mean, I saw them. They're competitive. They want to get the story first. They want to get the most interesting articles and information out there. But there are restrictions on what they can cover and can't cover. And you kind of get to know, you know, what is going to be tolerated, and you should stay away from the stuff that you think might be questioned. And that's maybe the stuff that is, you know, comes from kooks like me, you know.
it's a self-administered censorship in a sense.
It is.
They sense that they don't want to talk about this because it might be taboo, so they don't cover it. They don't need an editor saying you can or cannot discuss it.
Right, right. They don't want an editor saying, you know, what are you covering, you know, asking questions about, you know, so they do this kind of self-policing. That's a good way of putting it. So you asked me right at the beginning, you know, was I subject to censorship? And I answered, you know. But but it's more subtle than that, as you suggest.
Right. Well, very interesting perspective. Will you be at this conference that they're having next month?
I will be at the beginning of it. Yeah, I'll be there. You know, there's the debate you mentioned. That's happening, I think, on the Thursday evening, the 7th, if I'm not mistaken, of November. And then the next day, the Weston A. Price conference begins. I'll be there that day. Then I'm leaving at the end of that day. So it goes on for a couple more days. So I'll be there at the start of it, but I won't be there for the end of it.
Awesome. Well, I hope people go out there and see you.
They're always fun. I've been at about, I think it's like about five or six of them now. They're always just really great. And I think one of the really tremendous things is the food at the West Nation.
Oh, I bet. It sounds awesome. And you and Sally took on a raw milk debate. When we come back, I want to ask you about that. Don't go anywhere. Our special guest tonight, David Gumpert. We'll be right back.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne, Glucosamine Chondroitin, Sea Cucumber, Colloidal Minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped to get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right.
I'll say.
It's the future.
Yes, it's our David. I want to thank you for coming on again. It's always great to have you. We'll definitely keep you in rotation as one of our go-to guests, especially on the topic of food freedom. You wrote a book also about raw milk a while back, not too long ago. The Raw Milk Revolution is that title. And in 2012, you, along with Sally Fallon, our last guest, were asked to take part in a debate of sorts at the Harvard Law School. Wow, very prestigious institution to have such a debate. You know, I did not watch it. I just read the headline on your website. But I'm curious, how did that go way back when? How did you... And Sally, take on the folks out there, I guess, who are trying to say raw milk is dangerous and should be illegal or something like that.
Yeah, well, just before I answer that, just so you and your viewers know, that
debate was videotaped, and it's on YouTube.
And oh, cool. I'll have to check that out.
All you have to do is go to YouTube and just type in Harvard Law School debate on raw milk, and it'll come up. And you'll see one of the really interesting things about it before you even look at the debate is it's had over 30,000 views. So that begins to tell you something about the interest. I mean, it wasn't the most scintillating viewing in the world, but it, you know, what was noteworthy about it was that it was one of the few times you've gotten both the pros and the cons together in one room. Now, it's not hard to get the pros. You know, people like Sally and myself and others to show up in a public forum and talk about why, you know, raw milk is okay and what the benefits are and what the risks are. But what's difficult is to get the other side to show up. They are deathly afraid to come out
and
open.
Who was the other side? I mean, who?
Well, we
are
had
these
two people. One was one of the people. I think her name was Heidi Kasselbaum. She is a food safety official at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and then the other was he calls himself a food safety lawyer or a product liability lawyer, I think is a technical phrase. He's someone who, a fellow also from Minnesota who has a big law practice that sues food producers when people get sick.
He ought to meet Pete Kennedy.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't think Pete was there. But anyway, we had a full house there. I think the auditorium there, I think, held a couple hundred people, and it was just, you know, standing room only. It was an interesting discussion. I think we each had 10 minutes to talk, and so we really had to compress our arguments down. And then there were questions and so forth. I spent a my time mostly just kind of taking apart the data on illnesses, a little bit like I did earlier in talking about the numbers that are put out by the CDC on overall illnesses. Well, I went through the data on illnesses that are put out in connection with raw milk. And so I kind of parsed that data. The CDC has a way of presenting that data in a way that makes raw milk look particularly dangerous. And when you actually, and the data isn't wrong, but it's presented as if to make it sound like it's a very large number. But it turns out the numbers they use are for cover 15 years. Well, if you start, you take the number they use and divide it by 15, you find out that the number of raw milk illnesses that they say are connected to raw milk is really pretty small. It's a small number. It's something less than 200 illnesses a year. But they talk about a 15-year period, and they talk about, I think, 1,500 illnesses or something. And so it's, you know, it sounds like, wow, that's really a dangerous product. But so I went through that whole data flow thing and tried to make some sense out of it so that people put it presented in a way that people can really understand, as opposed to, you know, gobbledygook the way the CDC explains it.
Is the underlying reason for the milk industry to be against raw milk because that their pasteurized milk lasts longer and therefore they can make more money on it?
Well, they're concerned about competition. No, it has nothing to do with milk lasting longer or anything like that. Raw milk, if it's produced well, will last as long or longer than pasteurized milk. And in fact, even when raw milk begins to sour, it's still drinkable, unlike pasteurized milk. When that begins to sour, you don't want anything to do with it. But no, the real reason has to do with money, as you'd expect. But it's about things like market share and competition. They don't like competition. The milk industry is highly concentrated, just a few producers, and it's kind of what I call an oligopoly. And they don't like to deal with competition. And raw milk does not offer a lot of opportunities for processing. So if more and more milk is sold unpasteurized, the question for them is, you know, what do we do with all these huge multi-million dollar facilities we've built to pasteurize it and to homogenize it? So that, that's, and so they, but they make it out to be a safety issue. And so they won't admit that it's about, you know, economics and business.
Interesting. Definitely check out David's book on that. They can find both books on Amazon, right?
Yes, you can. Both books are at Amazon.
Is that the best place to get it, or should they?
I mean, that's
it
the that's
website?
The quickest place. But I encourage people. You know, if you, you said you found it in a small store,
I
or
did,
you found
yeah.
one of my books in a small store. I mean, I think that's great. If people, you know, have a local bookstore they go to go there and ask for it. I've spoken at a number of bookstores that have gone out to stock the book, and you know, it's really neat if we can help these and you know, these small bookstores sell books.
Sure, I agree. And you know, the funny thing about that is this local bakery also sells raw milk.
Okay, well, you've got everything you need.
And on top of that, they're on the terrorist watch list as a result. So there you go. They hang around guys like us, Mark. They're definitely on the list. It's funny because this topic is something that you would think more people would accept, but it's almost as taboo as talking about 9/11 in a contrary fashion or denying the Holocaust or any of these other topics. It seems that we've been marginalized in a sense, although I'm going to go back on what I'm saying here by saying there's a growing movement. Have you noticed that more and more people are starting to get this?
Absolutely. I used to think we were marginalized. I think we certainly the mainstream media and the established government authorities try to marginalize us. But people are getting the word, and in fact, what happens when they come up with these farm shutdowns and raids is that farmers always see a growing demand right afterwards for raw milk and for other good food products.
No press is bad press.
Absolutely. Well, people don't trust what the government and what the media are saying. So they go out.
They're saying, hey, the government's
kind of
after
me. Do the opposite of what they say. Yeah.
What a great it's just like the gun argument. You know, since they've gone after the guns or there's a perceived threat against our guns, gun sales have gone through the roof.
Yeah, it's the same kind of deal.
Interesting. Well, David, I want to thank you for coming on. I really appreciate all that you do. We'll definitely keep you in the loop here. And one more time, the website's, I guess the blog is thecompletepatient.com, right?
That's it, yes.
Check
and I'm
that
writing
out.
About, I'm writing about these issues on a regular basis.
Awesome. Yeah, I have your blog bookmarked, and I check it every week or so. So I should check it every day, though. I'm sure there's good stuff there all
there's
the time.
There's always some really good comments. I the people who comment there are some really smart and creative people. So I suggest people look at the comments almost sometimes before they look at what I wrote.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, cool. David, thanks again, man.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. You take care.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next hour, folks, I'll tell you how why Pope Francis will not meet with Bibi Netanyahu. I'll tell you about a U.S. court that rules against highly intrusive GPS tracking by police. We'll have open phone lines for the duration of the hour at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Got a lot to get to, so we're going to do so. Last hour, no guests, just you and I covering some serious ground here on The Bob Tuscan Show.
The Bob Tuscan Show.
With financial